My name is Nadine Neber, and I'm an associate professor at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, in the program in American Culture, where we have an Arab American Studies unit, and the Department of Women's Studies. And I have been a core group member of the Arab Families Working Group since 2001, so for 11 years. And I've been conducting two research projects with the Arab Families Working Group. Both of them are in some ways related to the context of Lebanon and the historical moment following the 2006 invasion. I'll begin discussing the first project a bit, but before I do so, allow me to just talk for a moment about the 2006 invasion. On July 12, 2006, the Israeli army launched a massive attack on Lebanon. And part of the invasion that's relevant to my research is the humanitarian disaster that was produced by the invasion. The Israeli army had destroyed most key bridges in the country, runways of Beirut's airport, power plants, cell phone towers, factories. And then the loss of lives, there were more than 1,000 civilians were killed, 50% of them were children, and 6,000 were wounded, and over 1 million people were displaced. As we can see, this was clearly a massive attack that produced a context of communities in crisis, and that's the part that I kind of take up in my work. The first project has to do with the impact of this moment of crisis in Lebanon on Lebanese families that live in the diaspora in Greater Detroit, Michigan, in the town of Dearborn. What's important when we think about the families in Dearborn is that these families really are transnational. They're the kind of families that speak of themselves as having one leg here and one leg there. Nearly everyone I worked with and did my research with had, you know, some family members living in Dearborn and some family members living in Lebanon. And they're also Shiite Muslims, and the majority of their families are from South Lebanon, which is the area that was disproportionately impacted by the invasion. I talk about these families as transnational families under siege in the project, and especially the ways that this experience of a homeland war from the distance of diaspora had particular implications for gender and concepts and practices of gender among the Lebanese community living in Michigan. Some of the main issues that come up in the research around gender and women, a couple issues I take up. First, there's the issue of comfort mothering. And I look at how women in these communities, you know, one of the primary needs that people had were on the level of the emotion, of emotions. And people really needed comfort and support to cope with their fears and anxieties. You had a situation where people literally had no idea if their loved ones were alive or dead. And you had women, you know, kind of stepping up, not only playing the role of comforting their own families, but organizing gatherings and comforting the communities at large. Another kind of gendered implication of this experience is what I call humanizing Arab people, and how the activism that was coming out of Dearborn at this time following the invasion was structured in gendered terms. So you already have a situation in the United States where the U.S. government and media were representing Lebanese men in particular as members of Hezbollah, the resistance movement that was played the key role in challenging the Israeli army during the time of the invasion. So you had these concepts in the circulating in the U.S. that Lebanese men were members of Hezbollah and were therefore terrorists. And so it was often difficult for men from Lebanese communities to reach a broad U.S. audience where they tried to talk about the humanitarian crisis happening in Lebanon and the need for a ceasefire. So women ended up playing a key role here in talking about the humanitarian disaster to the greater U.S. public at events and rallies, and talking about the impact of the invasion on women, children, and communities on the ground. So those are just a few ways that the homeland war took on gendered form in the diaspora in Michigan. Following that project, I've been conducting research with Zaina Zaatari, another Arab family working group member in Lebanon, also related to the aftermath of the 2006 invasion. But here we've taken a political organizing that took place among feminist, LGBT, and other progressive organizations and coalitions in Lebanon. We've been focusing on the ways that the invasion actually opened up new opportunities for feminist and LGBT critiques in Lebanon. We've been trying to discuss how it's difficult to talk about feminist and queer activism in Lebanon without taking into consideration the broader historical and political context of militarism and war, and in this case, possibilities and limitations of feminist and LGBT activism really have taken place on the backdrop of both this invasion as well as the 2008 civil conflict that took place in the summer of 2008 in Lebanon. As far as the first research project, thinking about the impact of homeland war on people who are living in the diaspora from countries that are experiencing invasion and war, one of the things that comes up here is that a lot of dominant ways of thinking about policy related to immigrant communities and gender really assumes an assimilationist paradigm and assumes that communities have come here, you know, to become American and they're leaving their homelands behind. And so a lot of the policy implications have to do with thinking of how people can cope with becoming American, whereas my research really shows the significance of the homeland to this particular immigrant community and how when their homeland was completely devastated, it literally devastated their lives here in the United States. And, you know, suggest to policymakers that, you know, if you really care about Arab diasporas at this time of intensified war, then policy really needs to take into consideration the impact of U.S.-supported and U.S.-led war on the lives of Arab immigrants and Arab women living in the U.S. The second project is related to feminist and LGBT activists in Lebanon. The policy implications also challenge dominant human rights approaches to gender, which often focus primarily on individual legal rights and issues such as women's access to political participation or women's legal rights. And here we have a situation where it's a broader devastation of the country at large, displacement of people, the death of family members, the death of neighbors, destruction of Lebanon's infrastructure that had a great impact on women and families. And so it requires human rights approaches to take into consideration these broader issues of militarism and war when considering issues of women's rights and women's survival. Finally, I was drawn to the Arab Families Working Group because at the time in 2001, there was a great need to challenge dominant approaches to the study of Arab families. One trend that seemed really prevalent in scholarship on Arab families supported a sort of culturalist approach, which analyzed issues of gender and family as determined by quote-unquote culture. And in that analysis, culture was often theorized as a abstract, abstract cultural values that can be considered outside of history and politics. And so it was really exciting that there was this group coming together that was trying to locate issues of gender and family within some of the most pressing issues of the 21st century around issues of economics, of globalization, transnationalism, neoliberalism, militarism and war, and so on. I've had the chance to work collectively and collaboratively in a way that rarely exists in academics and scholars, where we have really shaped our ideas together and not only done research and shared with each other and gained feedback from each other, but actually developed our ideas together.